And now we're joined live by phone by Deepan Budlakodi. Deepan is a Canadian-born man who the Canadian government is in the process of trying to deport to India. Their official reasoning is that Deepan didn't have a birthright to Canadian citizenship because his parents had diplomatic status when Deepan was born, the only exception to the birthright law. They did have diplomatic status before he was born. They were working for the Indian High Commissioner, or the Indian Ambassador, as domestic help. But according to his parents and the High Commissioner, they stopped working for him shortly before Deepan was born, a hitch in the case that the government has yet to address. But the government's real motivation for wanting to deport Deepan is clear. It's in the official quote released to all the media outlets by the Minister of Immigration, quote, "This convicted criminal has never been a Canadian citizen," unquote. Deepan has served two sentences for being convicted of crimes, but that in and of itself isn't, under current legislation, justification for deportation. We now have Deepan on the line to give us an update on his case. Deepan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
So we last spoke in January when we did a panel discussion on Off the Hour about your case. Has there been any further development in your case since January, since the last time we spoke?
And further developments in terms of the legal aspect, we have gone to the UN. The UN has come back, and our submissions have been submitted, but we're just waiting for the committee of 18 members to sit and give their decision on the UN aspect for the UN complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And for the charter application is in process. We're just waiting for a court date to be set, hopefully sometime in June, possibly sometime in September.
Mm-hmm. And so your application to the United Nations, that was in terms of the fact that when the Canadian government stripped you of your citizenship, you were actually left stateless. Is that right?
Yes, I was left stateless, and the fact that my birthright has been taken away from me,
mm-hmm.
not only under the Charter of Rights violation, but also under the international rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Canada signed a declaration in 1961 of reduction of statelessness, and the fact that Canada has induced me to become stateless is also a violation under international law.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have support from certain BCCLA, CCLA, and Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
And CCLA took it upon them to submit a UN application, which now is coming down to the last stages of getting a decision from the UN.
Mm-hmm. And in January, the Canadian government was refusing to acknowledge the letter that you got from the Indian High Commissioner, which stated that your parents no longer worked for the commissioner and therefore no longer had diplomatic status when you were born. Is that still the case? Are they still refusing to acknowledge that piece of evidence?
No, they have acknowledged it, but they have no comment on it.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So that's what they're saying, that they still believe that they're right and I'm still wrong, even though there's evidence from the former High Commissioner clearly stating that I'm not an Indian, that my parents did not work for the High Commission in any capacity whatsoever. To this effect, India has also confirmed that I'm not an Indian national. It's come to the point that India has confirmed that I'm not an Indian national. It's been confirmed by multiple lawyers in India, and the fact that the former High Commissioner has wrote a letter. To this effect, the High Commission in Ottawa head office is no longer even responding to Canada. They just deferred right to India directly because
mm-hmm.
they have already given their decision to Canada.
Right. And so what has the concrete impact of being stateless been on your life? Because the fact is that since you don't have citizenship in India nor in Canada anymore because the Canadian government has revoked it, you are left stateless. What has the impact of that been on your life?
Well, essentially, I can't get a normal job. Even if I get apply for a job, my status has direct implications on the job I have. Getting a social insurance number, getting a driver's license, I have no healthcare services. I have to fight to get my healthcare services back, which is in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Employers finding out that I have a criminal record, as well as the fact that I have no status in Canada, where in return I get laid off of work. It's not easy to get work. It's not easy to get healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And having limitations where I sign on a monthly basis. In general, this limitation being limbo, having no sense of home, even though I'm born in Canada, have a Canadian passport, have a birth certificate, lived here my whole life, but that has been taken away from me, and now I'm completely stateless, don't have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to apply for a work permit every year. I have to apply for driver license every year. I have to apply for a SIM card,
mm-hmm.
and which in fact, if the SIM card was a problem to get, my work permit was a problem to get, based on the fact that I was already born in Canada. It became a long process to even get it. I had to go to federal court to even get a work permit. So every step has been a battle. Even driver license, got to go to court. Right. Social insurance card, got to contact the minister. I contacted, what's the guy's name? The NDP minister, Thomas McClure.
Right,
McClure's office. Contacted Service Ontario, and then I got my social insurance card. So every step has been a process, and every step costs money.
Mm-hmm. And so you're in a particular case because you're actually not an immigrant to Canada, but you're facing a lot of the struggles that immigrants to Canada do face. Has your point of view on immigration changed since all of this began, or your point of view on the very idea of citizenship?
Citizenship is, I find it really arbitrary in itself, because Canada has its own rules under citizenship aspect, but yet these rules don't apply to me because they choose not to apply. And I find that the immigration system is by far a very corrupt and broken system. In my opinion, I would say that the whole system should be basically redone, done the right way instead of what is now. It judges you from the fact of your skin color. It judges you on how and what you can do, and it simplifies specific cultures.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you say to people who argue that you or other people in similar situations deserve to be deported from Canada because you were convicted of a crime? Because this actually is a policy of the Canadian government, which activists, immigration activists, call double punishment, which is after having served time for a crime, that the person will also be deported to their country of origin. In your case, your country of origin is actually Canada, but how do you respond to people who say, well, you shouldn't, if you didn't want to be deported from Canada, you shouldn't have convicted a crime in the first place?
Well, there's two ways I usually respond to that. One is the fact that regardless if I committed a crime or not, I pay my debt to society. So any other individual that has a Canadian citizenship did a crime, they paid it to society, they can move on in life. But yet, mm-hmm. people that don't have status have that. Second way I respond to that is that if I can get deported, it's regardless of being getting deported. It's the fact that back down the line, we all came to Canada. We're all settlers to Canada. It's very hard to explain. The way that they say that, based on the fact that I have a criminal record, yes, I should be deported.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying that anyone that has a criminal record, regardless of the status, can be deported. But if they're only specifically choosing the people that have no status, but yet we all came to Canada essentially at one point, other than the First Nations. So this is Indigenous lands that have treaties that are getting broken, violated by Canada, the domain of the state. The state itself is violates multiple laws, and the state itself is corrupted in itself because it does what it chooses to do. For example, the Conservative government has dictated so many different things with a majority government where it dictates this, 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 and this. Now, because of this, certain specific ethnic groups will be suffering, and people that have been here will be suffering based on the fact that they have specific status and are limited to certain things based on this new legislation they keep on applying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not benefiting the system for individuals that have been coming to Canada. It's benefiting people that are making money off it, essentially, that have been here a long period of time or have businesses around it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any logical sense.
Mm-hmm. And have you learned about the different struggles of people who are living in Canada, either First Nations or immigrants to Canada? Have you learned something about their struggles in going through your own struggle with Canadian immigration?
Have I learned anything?
Yes.
I'm learning something new every day. I'm part of No One's Legal Ottawa, and I go to different meetings across Ontario, essentially, and going through my tour,
mm-hmm.
I learn different concepts. I learn different things from different people's cases, to how they're fighting it, to what they're going through, to what the system is doing to them, to what things are getting violated, so forth and so forth. I'm learning on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk a bit about your campaign, Justice for Deepan. You've launched an incredibly active campaign since all of this began. We first met when you were on a speaking tour passing through Montreal, and the Canadian Civil Liberties Association recently actually hosted a colloquium on your case. You have a website, a Facebook, a Twitter. Why do you think that having public support in your case is so important, and do you think it'll actually make a difference?
I think it's important because I want people to, I believe, and in my personal opinion, that people should know what the government is doing, and they're violating the laws of the land, essentially, of their own laws that they initiated, but yet they're violating on my case. So, for example, if they say that they can deport me, that's born in Canada, they're basically saying that anyone that's been in Canada, they have permanent residency status, or don't have no status, and one parent is a citizen and one parent has a precarious status or different types of status, has a child, and that child commits a crime, can now be deported.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also questions the citizenship aspect. Right. What is citizenship? If someone is born in Canada, has the right under their own act, that is citizen by birth, but now can be deported. So what's the foundation of citizenship itself? Can citizenship be really say that it's a bona fide, that you are a citizen and it can never be taken away from you, but on the contrary, it can be taken away from you.
Right. Do you think that your case has made people aware of that possibility?
I think people are shocked about my case, and mm-hmm. I think people are becoming more aware that how this conservative government is the process of doing things is an eye-opener to people, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And so can you just talk briefly about the kind of support that you have seen since you began your campaign, Justice for DPEN?
I've been building support all the way from the beginning to an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a couple of examples. I have Solidarity Across Borders supporting me in Montreal. I have Amnesty International, British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, which is hosting an event for me in May in Vancouver. CCLA just hosted an event for me at Carleton University.
Mm-hmm.
There are big organizations that have supported me, also Canadian Labour Congress, CLC.
Mm-hmm.
Different types of organizations have ongoing support. I also have support from some particular certain NDP individuals, as well as the Green Party. They have wrote statements on my behalf, which is on my website at www.justiceforddpan.org.
Okay.
And overall, just support has been building. I've been getting endorsements from different unions and different organizations across the country, and the pile is just getting bigger and bigger, and people are starting to realize that this is a case that can set precedents, and what the Canadian government is doing is completely wrong.
Right.
Taking away someone's status from a person that's born in Canada is unheard of. It's never been done before in Canada history.
Right. And so just a final question. You have a fundraiser going on right now to raise $8,000 for legal costs, which I understand people can donate to by going to your website, justiceforddpan, that's DEEPAN.org. So I wanted to ask you, why do you need so much money, and are you optimistic about getting that much money?
Okay, so, for example, the charter application itself is in the thousands of dollars range. Your charter application, you're fighting the state, so the state prolongs everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight every single step that costs money. This whole aspect is just for the charter application, and it's an ongoing process for about a year now. Am I realistic to getting all that money? I'm hoping so. I'm getting donations from unions, I'm getting donations from individuals, I'm getting donations from OPERGs. People are donating. People are also donating to my Indiegogo site, which they can get a perk, like T-shirts, hats, vests.
Okay.
Things like this.
How much time do you have left for your fundraiser?
I believe I have like 26 days left, roughly.
Okay. All right, DPEN, thank you so much for joining us.